In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This day is known by some as the Sunday Forgiveness, others as Cheese Fair. But the theme of this Sunday is the casting out from paradise. Matins was all about it. So I want to talk about that more than I want to talk about blini. I don't really care about blini. I have them once a year. I try to eat only a little bit because it makes forgiveness vespers really hard if you have too many blini. And I'd like to talk about forgiveness, but really, I think we sometimes have it backwards. I think the common wisdom is that you must forgive to be saved. That's true. But if you're being saved, you will forgive. If you're aware of what you have lost in paradise, and you yearn to regain what you lost in paradise, then you won't have time to be judging other people, and to be bitter towards other people, and forgiveness will be very easy for you. So forgiveness is not something, just like the other virtues, it's not something where you just say, this is a good thing to do and I must do it. You must have the capacity to do it. You must have the ability to forgive. Now it's good to force yourself to forgive, but it's better to have a heart that is full of mercy and that easily forgives. And a heart that is full of mercy must be full of God, and then it's very easy to forgive. So this is the paradigm that I think we should follow, that we should strive during this fast, which is right upon us, to be aware and lament what we have lost because of our sins, what we're missing because of our sins, and strive to get back to paradise. And God will certainly receive us. We've seen the evidence in the preparatory Gospels, how the publican cries out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord says he is the one that was justified, not the proud Pharisee. And of course, the best example in all of Scripture, the prodigal son. When he went back towards his father and was still weak with sin, his father received him and strengthened him and restored him. So this fast should be a time that you decide you're just going to try a little harder, not try harder to fast. If you don't fast well, it's good if you fast better. But that shouldn't be your focus. Your focus should be to regain what you've lost. Do you feel it? I feel it every day. Every day. The things that I should be that I am not. I should be kinder. I should have more attention. I should feel my brother's needs more. And I shouldn't feel tired when I have to administer to their needs. Sometimes I do. It's a dirty little secret of pastors. But come on, it's not really a secret, because you have the same secret, don't you? Sometimes it's hard to do good. Sometimes we feel dull and wooden and dark and cold. Or sometimes maybe not those feelings, but just sort of just numb a little bit to spiritual things. When we pray, we should be with the angels. The saints were. St. Seraphim routinely saw the Mother of God. There are priests, simple village priests. There are stories. When they would pray, they would see the Holy Spirit descend upon the gifts. There's one story that was told, I think, by Bishop Basil of Wichita. Simple priest from the old country. Probably barely could read and write. And he began the epiclesis sequence when the calling down of the Holy Spirit is done. Basically around the point where the priest is saying, this is my body. He says those words and etc. And he stopped and he repeated it. And then he repeated it again. And a bishop was there. And he says, Father, what are you doing? He says, well, I didn't see the Holy Spirit descend yet. This is the kind of prayer we should have. And then he prayed again and the Holy Spirit descended. The bishop didn't see it. The people didn't see it. This holy priest did. That's the kind of prayer we should have. We should have a heart that's full, that feels God in every breath, as Job says, in my nostrils. Do you have that? If you don't, you should lament. That's not what you were born for. Great Lent is a time of seeking that. I don't know where people get the idea. I think because they're a little lazy and because they don't really know, experience God, but they sort of know things about him. The idea is that Great Lent is this time of difficulty and slogging through it and temptations and hard stuff like fasting and longer services, and stuff like that. Great Lent is a time of light. The light is appearing brighter and brighter every day in Great Lent. And you should be seeking that light. That should be your purpose during this fast. I wish it could be Great Lent just about every day of the year. Because I feel alive in Great Lent. I hope you do too. I hope you don't feel dead. Now, I get tired too. And sometimes my soul is overburdened during Great Lent. But there is the light. The light's coming. The light's already here, really. But we don't feel the light. We don't see the light as we should. So Great Lent is a time of just somehow something in you is going to change so that you can see the light better. You can feel the warmth better. And you can be warmer. And you can be more light as the light of God shines through you to others. This should be your purpose during Great Lent. Not deciding, well, you know, okay, this Lent I'll fast from cheese too. Or I won't even have fish. Okay, go ahead and do that. I recommend that. But your purpose for Great Lent should be to regain that which you lost in paradise. Of course, now you and I weren't in paradise. Adam and Eve were. But their sin, which we would have done too, their sin caused man to no longer be able to experience God as God intended. That's why the God-man came down. Not this thing about just forgiving sins. That's just a tiny little thing. He came down so that we could experience him fully and totally. So that we finite beings could experience infinity. So that we who are not good could be in the presence of he who is good and be unashamed. So during Great Lent, try to regain some of that. That should be your goal. Now, with that goal, if you don't pray more, you're not going to reach it. If you don't try to fast, you're not going to reach it. I don't care if you fail or succeed in fasting. I care that you try, that it matters to you. I don't care if you fail or succeed in saying this prayer, saying a friend every day, but I want you to make that a priority, to say it with your heart, not just your lips and with your body, but with your heart. One of the most perfect prayers the church has, the prayer of saying a friend. I want to talk to you about the epistle today, which is in line with what I'm just saying to you. When I read these words, I get very excited. I love this epistle because this epistle tells me, Seraphim, you can get better. You don't have to stay the way you are. I don't want to stay the way I am. Do you? Do you want to stay the same person you are right now with petty grievances and laziness and prayer that is not powerful, and with knowledge about God, but not experience of him? Do you want to stay that person? I don't want to stay that person. The epistle tells me I don't have to stay that person. St. Paul says, and that, knowing the time that it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Those are exciting words. Those are wonderful words. That's a promise. And unlike us, God keeps his promises. Your salvation is nearer to you than when you first believed. And it can become much more near. Very close. So close, in fact, that God and you are one. And this is the time to awaken out of sleep, to pray a little bit more, to get up a little earlier, to be a little kinder, to work a little harder, to come to church a little more. To have a heart that desires a little bit more. Because your salvation is very close to you. St. Paul also says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. That's what this period of time is for. It's good to do it every day of the year. The saints did. But we were weak. So we now have a concentrated period of time, about 50 days or so, to try to put on Christ more than we put him on before, to not make provision for the flesh. And of course, one way to not make provision for the flesh is to not spend so much effort and time and interest in food, to eat simple food and fasting food. A better way, or should I say a way that should join this fasting, but which is a higher way than fasting though. Fasting helps this way, is to pray with great attention, to to not make provision for your flesh, to get up earlier in the morning and to pray, not just rattling off some prayers as you're tooling down the highway, but to pray with fervor, with attention, with effort. If you don't know how to do it, just start doing it. You'll learn. This is a time to put on Christ. Very exciting. I want to read for you a few things from the Matin service, which are about this theme of the casting out of paradise. There were saints who had laments of long poems about the casting out from paradise. Father Silouan of Manathos had one. They lamented this catastrophe every day of their lives. This is the greatest catastrophe of man, by the way. It's not whichever guy that you don't like becomes president. That's not much of a catastrophe. The catastrophe is man was in paradise and walked with God, and we don't do that anymore. But we will. So we should know about what we lost. And we should join two thoughts together. The services show a good example of it. I tried to pick examples that showed this. But they're all over the place. We should join these two thoughts. The sense of our own unworthiness, our sinfulness, what we have lost, and a deep, deep sorrow about that. Joined at the same time to great confidence in God saving us, and great joy and thanksgiving that He will save us. Those two thoughts must be joined at the same time so that they are one breath, one thought. If you only think that you're a terrible sinner, then you don't make any progress in life. But if you think you are a terrible sinner with a God who will forgive and who will make you such that you will not be a sinner anymore, now there you can make progress in life. In the canon in the first ode, right at the beginning, it says, "Come, my wretched soul, and weep today over thine acts, remembering how once thou wast stripped naked in Eden and cast out from delight and unending joy." That speaks of the greatest tragedy in the history of the world, where man was in paradise and he was stripped naked, meaning he lost his virtue. And in losing his virtue, he could not know the one who is the creator of all things that are good, God. Greatest tragedy. So we have to think about this tragedy a lot. But don't be sad about it. Don't be only sad about it. Also realize God will help you. Doesn't matter if you're good or bad. Doesn't matter if you have a lot of ability or not a lot of ability. Doesn't matter if you've got a lot of bad habits and you've gotten yourself in a lot of trouble. God will help you if you seek out paradise. This is a time to do that. Here's a little bit more about why we are in this period of time, and a little bit more of this idea of lamenting our loss, but also having great confidence, full belief, faith, that God will restore us. Adam was cast out from the delight of paradise. Bitter was his eating when in uncontrolled desire he broke the commandment of the master, and he was condemned to work the earth from which he himself had been taken, and to eat his bread in toil and sweat. Let us therefore love abstinence, that we may not weep as he did outside paradise, but may enter through the gate. You see the purpose of abstinence here? It's not just so that it can be hard for you, and you can have trouble figuring out what meals to prepare, and you can be hungry, and you can crave a cheeseburger. That's not what abstinence is for. Abstinence is to regain paradise, is to have your heart open so God fills it. That's what your abstinence is for. The season of virtues now is come, and the judge is at the door. Let us not hold back with darkened face, but let us keep the fast, offering tears, contrition, and almsgiving, and let us cry, "Our sins are more in number than the sand of the sea, but deliverer of all, forgive each one of us, that we may receive an incorruptible crown." And there are the two thoughts joined together into one. As is usual, the Kontakion, just like the Troparion, is a summary of the theme of the day. And it's a very good summary, so I'll read it to you. O Master, guide to wisdom, giver of prudent counsel, instructor of the foolish and champion of the poor, make firm my heart and grant it understanding. O word of the Father, give me words, for see, I shall not stop my lips from crying out to thee, I am fallen. In thy compassion, have mercy on me. I could read a dozen more, two dozen more. They all have that idea. And that idea is no good to you unless you do something with this idea. Unless you struggle to find paradise. That's the purpose of this fast. And then, if you've done it, even if only a little, even with lots of mistakes, even with some falls, when Pascha comes, God will fill you in some way. Maybe you'll feel it. Maybe you won't. Maybe there'll be great joy on Pascha. Maybe there won't be. But God will reward you according to your effort. Not according to your ability. Not according to your accomplishments. According to your effort. So make up your mind to try. Now this day is called Forgiveness Sunday, as well as the Sunday of the commemoration of the expulsion from paradise. Most people don't remember about the expulsion from paradise. They remember Forgiveness Sunday. And they know that after we've had liturgy, we will have Forgiveness Vespers, which is the entry into Great Lent. We will have a short Vesper service, and then we will all ask forgiveness of one another. And that's an important ritual that we go through. But it should not be a ritual to you that is empty. If you know that you have lost paradise, then you look around and you can see other people that have too, because they share the same human condition with you. It should make you very sad. It should make you angry when some of those people that who have lost paradise have wronged you in some way. And it should be easy to forgive if you feel the light of God in your heart. So that's the key, brothers and sisters, to forgiveness. Absolutely, we should say, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. The gospel says that. But the person who has experienced forgiveness, he doesn't need to be told that. Because he doesn't forgive for that reason. He doesn't forgive because otherwise he won't be forgiven. He forgives out of gratitude. And the light of God within him spurs him on. And he cannot do anything but forgive. That's the state we should reach. Now, in our weakened state, it's good to force ourselves. It's good to be nice to people we don't want to be nice to. It's good to have outward expressions of kindness when our heart doesn't feel kind. Those are all good because they're training you, but those are just things for infants. The perfect forgive because they are forgiven. Let's try to get to paradise this Great Lent. Let's take maybe even a baby step, but let's get a little closer because salvation is closer than when we first believed. God bless us. God help you. Amen.